Reading is Isaiah 50, verses 1 to 11. Where is your mother's certificate of divorce with which I sent her away? Or to which of my creditors did I sell you? Because of your sins you were sold. Because of your transgressions your mother was sent away. When I came, why was there no one? When I called, why was there no one to answer? Was my arm too short to deliver you? By a mere rebuke, I dry up the sea, I turn rivers into desert. Their fish rot for lack of water and die of thirst. I clothe the heavens with darkness and make sackcloth its covering. The sovereign Lord has given me a well-instructed tongue to know the word that sustains the weary. He wakens me morning by morning, wakens my ear to listen like one being instructed. The sovereign Lord has opened my ears. I have not been rebellious. I have not turned away. I offered my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who pulled out my beard. I did not hide my face from mocking and spitting. Because the sovereign Lord helps me, I will not be disgraced. Therefore have I set my face like flint, and I know I will not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who then will bring charges against me? Let us face each other. Who is my accuser? Let him confront me. It is the sovereign Lord who helps me. Who will condemn me? They will all wear out like a garment. The moths will eat them up. Who among you fears the Lord and obeys the word of his servant? Let the one who walks in the dark, who has no light, trust in the name of the Lord and rely on their God. But now, all of you who light fires and provide yourselves with flaming torches, go, walk in the light of your fires and of the torches you have set ablaze. This is what you will receive from my hand. You will lie down in torment. This is the word of the Lord.
The second reading is Luke chapter 22. Verses 39 to 44. Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down, and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you very much. Please keep your Bibles open to the book of Isaiah. We'll be going through it shortly. As Tim said, my name's Rob. I'm one of the ministry apprentices here, and it's great to have you all with us. It's fantastic to be able to meet together under level one again. So as we read and sit under God's word, please join with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for these words in the book of Isaiah. We pray now that as we look at them in a bit more depth, that you would help us through the aid of your Holy Spirit. That as we sit under your word, he would draw us closer to you, that he would make us more and more like Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Over the last couple of months, we as a staff team have been blessed with a new member joining the team. She's been running around all over the place, digging into the books, and leaving the odd present for staff members to find. The staff member's name is Coco. She's Costa's new puppy. And one week, while she was joining us in the office, I may have made the mistake of leaving the door open. And Coco, seizing the opportunity, shot out the door like a rocket. A golden blur passed my sight. And as I chased her down the steps to the front of the office, I found that she had actually snuck underneath the deck and was running around under the building. And so I had to go face down in the rose bushes outside, arms under the deck, calling out to her, trying to convince her to come out of the deck and come back outside. But no matter what I said or did, nothing seemed to work. She seemed to enjoy running around in the darkness more than being outside in the sun. And in the book of Isaiah, Israel is in a very similar situation. They are preferring to live in the darkness rather than to live in the light. In the book of Isaiah, he uses darkness as a picture, not of someone running around in the darkness under a building, but as someone who has separated themselves from God, who has rejected God and refuses to listen to him. We see this most predominantly in verse 2, where we read, "When I came, why was there no one? When I called, why was there no one to answer?" Here God is calling out to Israel, addressing them like a husband would address his wife who has been found unfaithful, telling them that the reason their marriage is the way it is not because of his fault, it's not because of his weakness, but because of their fault and their sin. It is because of Israel's sin, because they don't trust God and are choosing to live in darkness and have turned to the idols of the neighboring nations and choosing to live in the darkness that comes from being apart from God rather than choosing to live in the light which God freely gives. And the book of Isaiah spends a lot of time telling Israel about the punishment that they're going to receive because of this rejection of God. But it doesn't just give judgment. It also offers hope. Hope that God will not leave them in exile. Hope will not. God will not leave them in punishment. He will bring them salvation. And the salvation won't come like me lying down in the concrete trying to convince a stubborn dog to come out of the deck. Instead, Isaiah is prophesying that there will be a servant-like figure. And this is 600 years before the birth of Jesus, who will come into the world and save his people. And that's who we've been looking at over these last couple of weeks, the Lord's servant, and how the servant has come not just to save Israel, but to save everyone who's living in darkness, everyone who has rejected God and refuses to listen to his words. As we saw last week in chapter 49, it says, "It is too small a thing for you to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob and to bring back those of Israel I have kept. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth." And this week, as we look at chapter 50, we will see that God gives a command that everyone who walks in the darkness must obey the words of the servant, and then they will be in the light. And chapter 50 gives us reason to obey the servant. We can obey the servant because he is trustworthy. And chapter 50 gives us three reasons why we're able to trust the servant. The first reason is because he speaks the words of God. The second one is that he practices what he preaches. And thirdly, the Lord helps him. So let's have a look at how the servant is trustworthy because he speaks the words of God. We see this in verse 4, where it says, "The sovereign Lord has given me a well-instructed tongue to know the words of the weary that sustains the weary. He wakens me morning by morning, wakens my ear like one being taught." The Lord's servant will be someone who listens to God. Unlike Israel, who have rejected God and no longer listen to him, the servant is one who will be attentive to God and listens to what he has to say. Morning by morning, the servant listens to God like someone being instructed. The servant listens to God daily, but he doesn't just hold on to the words that God teaches him, keeping them for himself as if it were for his own benefit. But he speaks them. He proclaims them to the nations. The servant doesn't speak his words, but only the words that God has given to him. So what are the words of his servant? You might think that there would be a word of judgment, considering how Israel is acting towards God. You would think that God would be warning them of the wrath that he's about to pour out on them because they have rejected him. But if you look with me to verse 4, you'll see that that's not the case. You see that instead of words of judgment, we see that they are words of grace. Words to the weary, that if anyone is weary, they can come to the servant. They can listen to his words and be sustained. The reason we can trust the Lord's servant is not because he speaks his own words, but because he speaks the word of God. And God didn't send his word into the world to destroy it, but to save it. Let's have a listen to these words which Jesus said 600 years later in the book of John. For I did not speak on my own, but the Father who sent me commanded me to say all that I have spoken. I know that his command leads to eternal life. So whatever I say is just what the Father has told me to say. It's kind of like when a king would have a message to declare to his people, way back before there was TV or internet or any other form of communication, and he would send out his herald. And this herald will go all about the towns, and they'll go into the town square, and they would shout out, "Hear ye, hear ye, thus saith the king." And then whatever the herald would say after that, the people would treat as if they were hearing directly from the king himself. Jesus is doing the exact same thing. He's only speaking the words that God tells him to speak. And this is an amazing comfort for us today as we look at the word. We spend so much time listening to other people's thoughts and opinions, whether it be on the radio, TV, or even online. And you hear what they think and what they say, only to have them change their mind later down the track and say something completely different. With Jesus' words, we can be confident that because he's only speaking what God has told him to speak, it doesn't matter whether he said it 2,000 years ago or 20 minutes ago. The words are still the same because God never changes. His word doesn't change. Jesus is trustworthy because he speaks the words of the Lord. The second way we see the servant's trustworthiness is that he practices what he preaches. We see this in verses 5 and 6, where we read of the servant's faithfulness to God. The sovereign Lord has opened my ears, and I have not been rebellious. I have not drawn back. I offered my back to those who would beat me, my cheeks to those who pulled out my beard. I did not hide my face from mocking and spitting. Here we see the servant's claim to be faithful to God, never rebelling and never turning away. Which would be an easy thing to claim, don't you think, if nothing bad ever happened to someone? Of course they would remain faithful if things go well. But that's not what happens to the servant. We see he's not given a free pass from suffering just because he trusts in the Lord. We see that he still experiences suffering despite his close relationship with God. What makes a servant trustworthy is how he approaches the suffering. Unlike Israel, who have turned away from God as soon as trouble came their way, accusing God of abandoning them despite their own unfaithfulness, we see in verse 6 that the servant submits to his suffering, offering his back to those who beat him, and his cheeks to those who would pull on his beard, not hiding his face from mocking or spitting. The servant doesn't shy away from the suffering, but practices what he preaches, continuing to trust in God even while suffering, not rebelling, not turning away. I think we see this most clearly in our other reading in the Gospel of Luke, where Jesus in the Mount of Olives prays to the Father, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." If ever there was an opportunity for Jesus to turn away, it would be now. Jesus looking ahead to what he is about to suffer, the punishment that he is about to receive, he cries out to God if there is any other way for your will to be accomplished, please take this cup from me. We see that Jesus is in so much anguish that his sweat is like drops of blood. If there was ever a time for him to turn away, it would be now. And yet, remarkably, Jesus says, "Yet not my will, but yours be done." Even though Jesus knows what's going to happen to him, his arrest, his beatings, his death on the cross, that everyone he knows will abandon him, Jesus still says, "Yet not my will, but yours be done." Jesus continues to trust in the Lord, even when it means going through unimaginable suffering. And we can trust the words of Jesus because he doesn't back down when things get tough. He continues to practice what he preaches, trust in the Lord. Which is a wonderful comfort, isn't it? Knowing that Jesus remained faithful to God even when he faced unimaginable suffering. He's not like some politician who speaks out against an issue because it will make them look good in front of their voters and then not actually do anything about the problem, only to find a couple of years later that same politician is now speaking in favour of the issue they once opposed. It's hard to trust people who don't follow through with what they say. But Jesus isn't like that. He didn't just trust God when it was easy and then turn away when things got difficult. He stuck to his word, and he trusted God even though it meant going through suffering. And when things get difficult for us, and when things don't go our way, and we think that we're experiencing our own form of suffering for following God, we can take comfort in this, because we can be confident knowing that Jesus isn't a stranger to suffering. He knows and understands what it's like to go through suffering that he didn't deserve. And that means when we come into times of trouble, we can trust him and what he says because we know he has gone through suffering as well. Jesus didn't come and tell us what to do and then just leave it at that, leave us an instruction manual. But he lived out what he spoke. He trusted in the Lord. He did not rebel. He never turned away, even when it meant facing suffering. And if the servant song finished there, I think we would picture the servant as someone who should be pitied, not trusted. But fortunately for us, the servant song doesn't finish there. And that's the last thing we see. The Lord helps him. We see this in verses 7 to 9, where it says, "Because the sovereign Lord helps me, I will not be disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like flint. I know I will not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who then will bring charges against me? Let us face each other. Who is my accuser? Let him confront me. It is the sovereign Lord who helps me. Who is he that will condemn me? They will all wear out like a garment. The moths will eat them up." Even though the servant is going through immense suffering, he sets his face like flint, not turning away from the punishment that he is receiving, because he knows that the Lord will help him. In verse 7, we see that he will not be disgraced. He will not be put to shame. The servant knows that the Lord will help him and guard him against all accusations. The servant is confident that the Lord will vindicate him, prove him innocent, issuing a challenge to his accusers in verse 8, asking them to find a fault, any fault. Show him how he deserves this punishment. The servant is so confident in the Lord that he compares all of his accusers like worn-out garments, full of holes. It's like a scene from a courtroom, where on one side you have the prosecution who's mounting up a huge case trying to convict the defendant. And then you have the defendant who's trying to prove their innocence, trusting in their attorney to fight on their behalf. And that's exactly what the servant is doing. He's trusting that the Lord will prove his innocence despite what anyone else might say. And we can take great comfort in knowing that the Lord does prove his servant innocent. In Hebrews 12, it says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such oppression from sinners, so that you might not grow weary and lose heart." Jesus has been proven innocent because God, who sees all things, who knows all things, could not find fault with him and has declared him innocent, seating him at his right hand. And Jesus is an example for us, showing us that we can trust God. And if anyone tries to treat us poorly for following Christ, for example, if you miss a promotion because of your faith, or maybe your friends and family treat you differently because you follow Jesus, we can take comfort knowing that the servant of the Lord, Jesus Christ, trusted in God and trusted that he would help him, and that same God offers us help as well. Does that mean that nothing ever will go wrong for following Jesus, or God will instantly fix any trouble that we come across? No, it doesn't. However, what it does mean is that when people accuse us of doing wrong, when they treat us badly for following Jesus, we know that the God who helped Jesus will help us. We can take comfort in knowing that the Lord will help us because he helped his servant. God has sent his servant into the world in order to be a light for those living in darkness. And as we've gone through this section, we've seen that we can listen to the word of the servant because he's trustworthy. We've seen that he speaks the words of God, he practices what he preaches, and that the Lord helps him. So will you listen to this servant, and will you obey his word? That's the question that the Lord is asking in the last couple of verses of this chapter. Who among you fears the Lord and obeys the word of his servant? Will you listen to what the servant is saying to us through his word, the Bible? After all, this is how we learn about the servant. This is how we learn about God and how he speaks to us today. And it's hard to obey someone if you don't know what they've said. So will you come and listen to the words written in these pages as Jesus calls out to you to listen and obey? For those people who choose to listen to the words of Christ and put their trust in him, we see this wonderful promise that God gives, that he will be their light, he will guide them. But it's so easy to become distracted, isn't it? To let the busyness of life come and get in the way, and before you know it, you look at the clock, forgetting it's daylight savings and it's 1 o'clock. You have no other option but to go, "I'll put it off until tomorrow." And you keep putting it off and putting it off and putting it off until it's been a week, a month, a year since you last even looked at your Bible. And if that's you this morning, well, I'm glad that you're here with us, sitting under God's word right now. But please look at this passage and see the warning that it gives. That if you would class yourself as someone who's like that, who keeps putting off spending time with God, you're acting just like Israel. You're running around in the darkness, ignoring God when he calls out to you. And this passage gives us this warning. If you carry on this way, if you try and do things in your own strength, living by your own light instead of trusting in God and living in his light, you will lie down in torment. And if that's you, please look at this passage and see what it tells us about the servant, how he has shown that he is someone who can be trusted. Listen to him as he speaks to you through his word. Please hear the word of the servant as he calls you out of darkness and into the light which God provides. And this does mean turning from doing things your own way and instead choosing to trust in God to light your path. Even when things get difficult, even if it might mean facing undeserved punishment for following Christ. But if you listen to the words of Jesus, if you obey the words of the servant, it gives you this wonderful promise that he will sustain you when you are weary. Please don't be like Israel, who refused to trust in God and remain in darkness. See the servant, see his trustworthiness, and listen and obey his words, choosing to walk in the light instead of in the darkness. Please join with me as I ask God to help us do this. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your servant, the Lord Jesus. We thank you that he lives the perfect life, that he never rebelled, that he never turned away, even when it meant unimaginable suffering. And we pray now that you would help us to listen to his words and that we would obey them as we hear them. We ask this in the name of Christ. Amen.